is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is flying to Ukraine and Russia this week in an effort to defuse escalating tensions as Western intelligence officials warned that Russian invasion of Ukraine is increasingly imminent, and Germany has called on its citizens to leave Ukraine as quickly as possible. Ahead of his first visits as chancellor to Kiev on Monday and Moscow on Tuesday, for meetings with the Ukrainian and Russian president, Scholz has renewed his warning to Russia, as well as its advocacy of continuing diplomacy in multiple formats. U.S. President Joe Biden told Russia's President Vladimir Putin that invading Ukraine could cause or would cause widespread human suffering, and that the West was committed to diplomacy to end the crisis, but equally prepared for other scenarios. That's according to the White House. It offered no suggestion that the hour-long call diminished the threat of an imminent war in Europe. Biden also said the United States and its allies would respond decisively and impose swift and severe costs if the Kremlin attacked its neighbor. The two presidents spoke a day after Biden's National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, warned that U.S. intelligence shows a Russian invasion would begin within days and before the Winter Olympics in Beijing and on February 20. Russia denies it intends to invade, but has massed well over 100,000 troops near the Ukrainian border and has sent troops to exercises in neighboring Belarus, encircling Ukraine on three sides. U.S. officials say Russia's buildup of firepower has reached the point where it could invade on short notice. Again, U.S. President Joe Biden warning the Russian president that invading Ukraine would cause widespread human suffering. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary Antony Blinken met his Japanese and South Korean counterparts Saturday in Hawaii to discuss the threat posed by nuclear-armed North Korea after Pyongyang began the year with a series of missile tests. Blinken said at a news conference after that meeting that North Korea was in a phase of provocation, and the three countries condemned the recent missile launches. He said that the countries were very closely consulting on further steps it may take in response to North Korea, but they didn't offer any specifics. The three released a joint statement calling on North Korea to engage in dialogue and cease its unlawful activities. They said they had no hostile intent toward North Korea and were open to meeting Pyongyang without preconditions. Protesters opposed to COVID-19 vaccine mandates and other restrictions withdrew their vehicles from a key U.S.-Canadian border bridge Saturday, but they ramped up demonstrations in cities across Canada, including the capital, where police said they were awaiting more officers before ending what they described as an illegal occupation. That tense standoff at the Ambassador Bridge linking the U.S. city of Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, eased somewhat earlier in the day when Canadian police persuaded demonstrators to move the trucks they had used to barricade the entrance to the busy international crossing. The protesters reconvened nearby with reinforcements and were still choking off access from the Canadian side at night, snarling traffic and commerce for a sixth day. Protests at the bridge in Ottawa and elsewhere reverberated outside the country with other inspired convoys in places like France, New Zealand, and the Netherlands, and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security warned that truck convoys may be in the works in the United States as well. Paris police fired tear gas against the handful of demonstrators who defied a police order by taking part in a protest against virus restrictions, again, inspired by Canada's horn-honking truckers. Police deterred over 500 vehicles, but a few dozen were able to get past police checkpoints. Police fired tear gas as they demanded that the demonstrators leave and stop disrupting traffic. Demonstrators in Afghanistan's capital have condemned President Joe Biden's order freeing up $3.5 billion in Afghan assets held in the U.S. for families of America's 9/11 victims. They say the money belongs to Afghans. Protesters gathered Saturday outside Kabul's Grand Mosque and asked America for financial compensation for the tens of thousands of Afghans killed during the last 20 years of the war in Afghanistan. The order signed by Biden allocates another $3.5 billion in Afghan assets for humanitarian groups to provide aid to Afghans. Via remote, I'm Tom.